Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Actually, it's a pleasure to be on time this morning. I didn't have that luxury when I got to Bethel this morning. I got there right at 9 o'clock. Just had too much slow traffic on the way. But maybe I can improve on that next week, and we won't make a habit of that today. At any rate, it's a lot easier to start a service when you're not rushed, and so it's good to be with you this morning. I would call your attention to some announcements that are in the bulletin. One of those is a reminder that this afternoon at 3 o'clock at Purley United Methodist, we have the opportunity to actually go and do a hands-on mission project of putting together meals for the Stop Hunger Now organization. And so we hope that you will consider doing that this afternoon and representing Union in that process. We have a church council meeting on Wednesday night, a Bible study on Thursday night. Next Sunday, we have the opportunity to make an offering to the United Methodist Retirement Homes. That offering usually helps people who are in those retirement homes but whose funds have run out. And rather than put them out on the street, the Methodist churches use this offering each year on Mother's Day to try and make sure those funds were available so that the people who have been, you know, sort of, that the church has committed to keep in those places are able to stay. So we hope that you will consider an offering for that next Sunday. We will have envelopes in your bulletins for that on next Sunday. Then on the 16th, Wednesday week, the Methodist women will meet. I guess the other announcements are in your bulletin. Just remember the singing night on the 3rd of June, the first Sunday night in June at 6 o'clock here. We hope you'll come and enjoy that night and bring your neighbors and friends in as well. Are there other announcements that we need to make? I don't always know everything that needs to be announced, but all right. Let's go to God in prayer then at this time. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks that you sustain us by your Spirit, and your promise is that where we are gathered in your name, you are present with us. So we pray that you would make your presence known to us, that your Spirit would speak with our spirits, that we might truly see you this day in all of your resurrected glory. We ask your blessings on those who are here, and also your blessings on those who are not able to be with us. We pray that for all, you would keep them safe and bring them back to worship together in this place once again. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment to welcome each other in the name of Christ as we pass Christ's peace among us.
Thank you.
Let us join together now in our opening hymn, number 92. We'll skip the second and third verses and try to sing all the rest today. And you may be seated. Our New Testament lesson is found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 21. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment that we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. And this ends our reading. Are there joys or concerns you'd like to share today? We do thank all of those that participated in that. We congratulate you, Tracy, for doing such a good job. Appreciate you wearing your medals today. Are there other joys or concerns? Sounds like a challenging time. More difficult for her than for you, I'm sure. That remains to be seen. Huh? All right. Are there other joys or concerns today? All right. Well, let's go to God in prayer then at this time. We'll begin with your silent prayer today. O loving and caring Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your presence with us this day, for the enduring presence of your Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of those that profess Jesus as Lord. We pray that you would move our hearts to make that profession on a daily basis, that we may continue to stay connected to him and find our power through him. And so we ask your blessings on our church this day, on the members of it who are present and those who are not. We lift up those things that have been named before us as joys and concerns this day. And we offer them for your care because you know exactly what needs to be done. But we thank you that Tracy has done well in the Special Olympics. And we thank you for the work that others have put in to make that event possible. We ask for safe travel and for love and emotional support for Scott and John as they travel to Indiana next week. We ask your blessings on their mother as she makes a big change to come to somewhere else to live. And finally, we offer up those things that may be named only in our hearts this day. For each of those concerns, we pray that you would be present and that your will would be done. We ask your blessings for our church and that it might be made strong in all the ways that you would need it to be strong. We pray for the faith of each of our members, that what we believe might be based on the word that we hear in this place and the word that we meditate upon in our own hearts and in our own houses. We pray not only for this church, but for our charge, for all the United Methodist churches in our conference, for the United Methodist churches in the United States. And we give you thanks for the General Conference and the work that they have done in the last 2 weeks. We pray that the decisions that have been made would be compatible with what you would have us do, that through them we might be guided for the next 4 years of our collective life together. Lord, we pray also for our nation, that you would keep it strong and safe. We ask your blessings on the appointed and the elected leaders of our nation and on the primary election that will be held this week. We ask your blessings especially on those who serve in our armed forces and the families that are separated by their service to our nation. We pray that you would strengthen that family tie and relationship, that you would keep it strong in your spirit. And Lord, we pray this day for those who suffer. Among those, we remember those who suffer because they've lost loved ones. We pray that you would fill the void that is in the hearts of those who have lost loved ones, that you would become parent or sister or brother or even child to replace what has been lost. We pray for those who are having a difficult time in their lives and who need your guidance. We ask that they would open their hearts to hear what you have to say to them and to trust in your word and your love to change the lives that they are experiencing even now. We pray for those who suffer because their lives are still in shambles because of natural or man-made disasters. Strengthen them. Be with those agencies that seek to bring relief and bring their lives back into a sense of normalcy as soon as possible. Bless also those who suffer because they have chosen to follow you, and be with all those who are under oppression or imprisoned or even under sentence of death because they have chosen to follow you. Let their witness be bright and strong wherever they may be, that many may be brought into your kingdom. Bless especially those who seek to bring your word to your people this day. So be with all who stand in your pulpits and especially those who preach on your mission fields. Let your Holy Spirit confirm that word and bring others into your kingdom as well. Lord, finally, we pray for those who suffer because of the evil that human beings do to each other. And so we pray that our love might be so visible and so different to the world that others might see that love is stronger than force, stronger than fear, stronger than coercion. So help us to love others as you have loved us. Help us to follow your commandment to do just that. Strengthen us by the presence and power of your Holy Spirit to be your witnesses in all the world. These things, O Lord, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Our hymn is number 397. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5 of this hymn. You may be seated, and we'll ask our ushers to come forward. God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for all that you have given to us. And once again, we ask your blessings on these gifts and their givers. We pray that you would multiply the gifts and multiply the givers. Use them both for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Like that one. Let's join together in our prayer for illumination at this time. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may encounter your risen presence today. Amen. Our gospel lesson today is found in the 15th chapter of the book of John. I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. These are Jesus' words as he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. or I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I think it's interesting today that we hear sort of echoes of the same theme from the writer of 1 John and the writer of John, the Gospel. We hear Jesus giving this last great parable of who he is. We can remember that he has used several other images. He's the bread of life. He's the good shepherd. He's the gate. Several others that he used in the book of John. But today he reminds us that he is the true vine and that God is the vine dresser. So God is the one that owns the vineyard. God is the one that has planted Jesus as the vine in his vineyard. And you and I get the distinct privilege of being branches on this vine. And the expectation, I think, is that branches on a vine are expected to produce fruit. But you know, Jesus says that we must abide in him, just as branches abide in the vine. So it seems to me that the hardest work that any Christian ever has to do is to stay close to Jesus Christ, to abide in him. What does that mean? Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Other places in Scripture, we hear that through him, we can do all things. So the question is our relationship with God. And in both the Gospel of John and this Epistle of John, we find the concept of abiding love. A love that just stays connected. One day this week, I was working on a laptop computer in my house, and I usually keep it plugged in so that it stays charged. And this particular day, the screen started to go black. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. All of a sudden, I looked down and realized that the transformer that it was plugged into had shut off when the power shut off. And so there was a switch on that plug-in that I needed to throw in order to get the power flowing again. Well, you know, most of you probably understand about grapes and vines and producing fruit. But we live in an age when people don't necessarily identify with that. Some of us think that grapes are just something that shows up in the grocery store, something we get in the produce aisle. We don't particularly care whether they come from Chile or Caswell County. So maybe the idea of staying plugged in and having our batteries charged by that connection is a very similar thing to what Jesus is telling his disciples about the vine. Because you can't do the work with the computer that needs to be done unless it is powered up. And somehow, just kind of like my experience this week, if we lose that connection, then the power becomes weaker and weaker until we suddenly realize that there's not enough power there to do what needs to be done. Jesus wants us to stay connected. He wants us to have his power flowing through us all the time. So what do I mean when I say that the hard work is staying connected with Christ? What I really want you to understand is that that is the hardest work that any Christian ever really ought to have to do. Because if we're abiding in him, if we're connected to him, if we're trusting in him, then his power just naturally flows through us. And who he is, because of his love, flows through us to the other people that we see in our lives. And so we don't have to worry so much about what it is that we do. What we have to worry about is how we do what we do. And how we do what we do is through the power of Jesus Christ. If you were to take his love and extend your hand and share his love with somebody else, I believe that anybody in this congregation could provide healing to that person that you extend your hand to. Every Christian ought to be able to lay their hands on another person, believer or not, and convey this love of Christ that flows through those that are connected to Christ. Because it's His power. It's His love. It's His will that is done through that love. John tells us that God is love. You know, we might not understand love. Sometimes we think of love in the carnal sense. And so we're thinking more in physical terms than in this emotional, unselfish love that is God's for us. But love is important. And love is who God is. So for us, I think we could envision love as a noun. Because that is who God is. God is love. And God loves. And the scripture doesn't say that God is loving. It says that He is love. And so I think we need to understand from that that this is the very essence of who God is. And this God who loves puts that same love in His Son. He makes sure that the conditions for growing this vine are the correct ones. There are nutrients in the soil. There's enough moisture. There's everything that is needed for production of fruit that's provided through the soil, through the care and tilling of the soil, through the vine, out to the branches. Do you think that the grapevine really concentrates on how it bears fruit? I think probably not. I think it just becomes a natural extension of what has come through the ground and what God has put into the circumstance and the environment. Perhaps if we understood that the love of God is transmitted that way through Jesus, through us, we would realize that the commandment that Jesus wants us to keep is that commandment that says, love your neighbors, love your brothers and sisters as I have loved you. Now that's hard work. That can be very hard work because we need to keep our own sentiments, our own emotions, our own minds out of that equation. We need to sort of suppress what it is we think and fill that instead with what God says in God's Word. So the way to abide in Jesus is to know what Jesus says, to trust what Jesus says, to believe that even when things look different in the world. Abiding in Jesus is staying close to Him, is trusting Him, is believing what it is that He has to say for us and through us. And it's, I think, ultimately understanding that we are the conduits of His love. But you know, I'm not a single branch on this vine. I am one of many branches on the vine, am I not? Just like you are another branch on this vine. And together, we are connected to Jesus. But we're also, through Jesus, connected to each other. And so we're expected to love each other, to encourage each other, to support each other in the same way that Jesus supports every branch on His vine. But that's not really hard work, is it? If we are able to let this love of Christ flow through us, then I think it becomes our essence as well as God's. 1 John reminds us that as He is, so are we in this world. Think about that. Because Christ is righteous, because Christ is that true vine, we are able to be just like Him because we are part of Him. We are His branches. And the fruit that we produce is not by our own effort. We don't have to worry about producing fruit. We have to worry about being a channel for that love and letting the love of Christ that we experience by being close to Him flow through us as we become close to each other, as we remember that His commandment is that we are known and we must love each other. So Jesus says it sort of easily, I think, in the Gospel of John. But the writer of 1 John makes it tougher because he says, if you don't love your brothers and sisters whom you have seen, it is impossible to love God whom you cannot see. So you can't keep Jesus' commandment unless you love your brothers and sisters. And that requires a little forgiveness, a little understanding, and a lot of love, doesn't it? That's the kind of thing that we are all challenged to make happen. But you know, the power to do that comes from this connection with Jesus Christ. This understanding that He is the one who directs it. He is the one who empowers it. He's the one who makes it possible. And so all we have to do is maybe keep our eyes open for the one who needs encouragement, for the one who needs love, for the one who needs us to say something loving in a time when they need it most. If we love as He loved, if we experience the ways that He has loved us, then it becomes very easy for us to produce that fruit of love by which we are known as His disciples. But it's not hard work to produce the fruit. It's hard work to make and keep that connection. But it's the only hard work, because the power is all His. The love is all His. The fruit is all His. We rejoice, I think, that we're able to participate in that, that we're able to be a part of that. But we are only a part. And apart from Him, we can't do it. So the message today is to abide in His love. To understand that abiding is the hardest work that you and I will ever have to do, because all the other work, the power to do all the other work, flows through us by the love of Christ in us. I don't know about you, but for me that's very good news. I don't have to worry about what I do. I just have to keep my eyes open to do what God calls me to do. I just have to keep my eyes open to what the Holy Spirit shows me that other folks might need. And then maybe I can give that word of encouragement, that word of love, that touch of power that's needed in those lives. I'm not the only branch. I'm not a more important branch than you. Each of us is a separate branch connected to this vine. And each of us bears that same expectation of producing fruit. But the fruit is loving one another. We do that because we transfer Christ's love to other people. And that's not hard at all. Of course, somebody did tell me one time there are two kinds of people in the world. One of those kinds of people is those that need love, and the other kind is those that need more love. So sometimes we deal with the ones who need more love, and it's a little more difficult for us. But it's not difficult for Jesus. He knows what's needed. He knows what can be said. The Holy Spirit working in your heart and through your life because of that connection to Christ can make you a most effective evangelist, witness, healer, whatever it is God has in mind for you. So abide in Him. Let His power be the one that does the work. Don't stress. That's the last thing. The more we stress, the less fruit we produce. The more we try to produce the fruit, the harder it is to make anything happen, because we're trying to do it in our own power. We're not abiding in His power and love. I did manage to get my laptop plugged back in, to get the power flowing again. It works just fine, again. But you know, it was a surprise that the power had disappeared when the battery finally ran out. Our Christian lives can be that way too. If we don't know and if we don't actively seek to abide in Jesus. So that's the hard work. Stay connected. But trust that through Jesus, you and I can do all things because He is the one who strengthens us and He is the one who shows us what it is that we might do for Him. And ultimately, He is the one that allows us to produce fruit for the kingdom. But that fruit for the kingdom looks like love. And that fruit for the kingdom looks like Christ's love. I think it's no coincidence that Jesus gives us this metaphor on the same day that we are going to enjoy the Lord's Supper. Because Jesus has said, I am the bread of life. And today He says, I am the true vine. And we see both of those in this sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And so as we take this today, remember that this is as close as we can get to touching the body and the blood of Christ. What happens when we take this into our bodies? We're experiencing the actual body of Christ according to spiritual terms. The body of Christ that provides the healing for all our needs. The blood of Christ in the wine is part of what it is that provides the forgiveness of our sins. But when we take that in, we are touching Jesus, and He is nourishing us. And so as we enjoy this holy sacrament today, let us remember that Christ is very present in it, that we can touch Him, be connected with Him, start once again to abide in Him through His presence within our physical bodies. As we come and enjoy this meal this day, I hope you will find the healing that comes from touching and eating the bread, and hope that you will find the redemption and the salvation that comes through drinking the vine. For in that we have abiding love. In that we have the essence of God that is the noun of love. And in that we find the power to do the verb of love, to truly love our brothers and sisters. That's keeping Christ's commandment. That's producing fruit for the kingdom. The power is His. The love is His. Our task is to share it and to stay connected with Him. So let us find that abiding love. Let us seek that and work toward that. And remember that that's the hardest work we have to do, because all the other work is done and has been accomplished already by what Jesus did on the Christ, on the cross, and what God did in the resurrection. Abide in His love. Keep His commandment. Glorify God by producing much fruit. Most of all, love your brothers and sisters. Amen. Let us respond to this word today with the Apostles' Creed. It's on page 7 in our hymnals. Let's stand as we make this response of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And you may be seated. We'll continue on page 7 and 8 here with the invitation that Christ makes. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, brought us to a land of milk, flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfailing. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us, as always, in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And so on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples in the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church has continued in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We who are many are one loaf, because we all partake of this one loaf. The breaking of the bread is a sharing in the body of Christ. And this cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. So all is now ready. We invite you to come to the table of our Lord. On page 11 in our hymnals, there is a prayer after receiving. Let us pray that prayer together. It's near the end of the page here. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 571.